This podcast is brought to you by the Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group in London, and with the kind permission of the Parkinson's UK charity. Welcome to Parkinson's Life Raft. Parkinson's Life Raft is designed to help you, whether you have Parkinson's or, like me, you care for someone who does. And whether you're having a good day or a bad one, we hope you'll feel connected to others who are in the same boat. Each podcast, we'll invite a person or some people to give us a different perspective on living with Parkinson's. My name's Vivian Goldstein, and I'm a member of the Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group here in London. My husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 10 years ago. I then discovered the support group, and I've been an active member ever since. My guest today is Blake Bookstaff. He's an American entrepreneur living in Knoxville, Tennessee in the USA, and he has early onset Parkinson's. Blake was diagnosed when he was 47. He's written a book about his experiences, how he has learned to live positively with this early intrusion into his life. And it's my pleasure, and I hope for you, the listeners too, to get to know him today. Hello, Blake. How are you today?
Awesome, Vivian. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
I'm delighted to have you here. You found me on LinkedIn.
Yes.
Which was normally I don't reply to things like that, but I thought, no, you sounded genuine. So I'm so glad I did reply, because you've written a book and I've read it. So I want to tell everyone about you. So I'd like you to tell everyone about you. So first of all, you got diagnosed 7 years ago when you were 47. So just give me an idea of where were you and who was with you when you got told, and how did that all go for you?
Well, like most Parkinson's people, I think you have some symptoms early on that you don't really know are Parkinson's. I had what I thought was plantar fasciitis, and I also had a frozen shoulder on one side. And, you know, I was treating those things separately, and they were getting treated somewhat, but the frozen shoulder got way better, but the foot problem never did. But then I noticed, I do computer work a lot, and I noticed that my finger was clicking the mouse button automatically without me doing it. And of course, the person the doctor that I went to said, well, that's probably related to your frozen shoulder, and there's just something pinched or some nerve or whatever. So I said, that's fine. But she said, well, let's just, to be safe, rule out anything. So she sent me to a neurologist locally who said he didn't think I had Parkinson's, but, you know, he wanted me to try to take some medicines. And sort of that sort of set in motion a call to my doctor and said, look, if you even think I have Parkinson's, I'd like to go to a specialist not a general neurologist right out of the gate. So she set me up. Neurologists are very hard to get to, these movement disorder specialists. They're hard to get in on a moment's notice. So she set me up for a month or two later in Vanderbilt, which is in Nashville, Tennessee, 3 hours away from our hometown in Knoxville. And went there and with my wife, Jennifer. And I thought the plan was to just get a quick, it was just going to be a joke. And, you know, I didn't think at all that it was Parkinson's. Of course, they diagnosed it as Parkinson's. And actually, she didn't even say you had Parkinson's. She just sort of went down the line of things we can start trying medicine-wise. And I was like, wait a minute, you think I have Parkinson's? And she said, yep, I think you do. And I was like, oh, man, okay. We went to the bar back at the hotel lobby and had a few drinks. My friend Bryce called and said, what's up? Because I was playing pinball with him the night before in Knoxville. He was visiting and from his home in Memphis, and we were playing and having fun. And I was joking about it, like, yeah, Parkinson's, I didn't know a thing about young onset Parkinson's, other than I did see Michael J. Fox throughout the years, like most people have. So it was really a shock to me, actually. And Jennifer sort of took over the first week of doctor's appointments and things. She went on my behalf because I was just torn up. But it still occupies an emotional place, although I'm very positive about things. It sounds like I'm not, because when I go back there, it's like a bomb went off. And so that was crazy, and never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would get something like that. I mean, some people get over it and, you know, spend a day sulking about it, I guess, and then they're ready to move on the next day. It took me a lot longer. I'm not this way now. Now I can speak about it just like normal conversation, but I would get emotional when I said I had Parkinson's for some reason with anybody that I talked to, and I don't know why that is. I guess because I went back to that diagnosis point. But then I slowly worked my way out of that, and that's why I wrote the book, is to help people like me. It was crazy how I could tell you how I, once I said I had Parkinson's to somebody early on, then I could talk about it just like this, almost like I'm talking about a third person, but I'm talking about me. I've moved past that place for sure. But but then, you know, slowly over time, now I can talk about it without any reservations. It's just when you go back there mentally, you're like, that was a rough day. But it was, I didn't take the medicines for about a month. Maybe I was in denial. I probably was in denial. But then once I started taking the medicines, it was like an instant response.
Oh, how wonderful.
So it was good.
So it's nice. It's calming to know that there's something that can help.
Sure.
Yeah. I've read your book, and it's really very clearly and simply laid out. It's got some nice sort of drawings in it.
Thank you.
And I'm interested because you have a daughter, don't you? And how old was she when you got diagnosed? And when did you tell her? Because I know in your book, you say you were very reticent about telling people. So who did you tell first? Obviously, Jennifer, your wife, knew. Then, right.
And my friend Bryce knew because we were talking about the night before, and he called me when I was at the bar at the hotel with my wife. So naturally, I told him. But then I quickly made the determination that from what I knew about Parkinson's at the time, you know, things were going to get worse. And, you know, eventually that I wouldn't be able to contain it to when I'm out and about. And I didn't want to deal with it until I had to. It's not that I minded people knowing. But it was like, you know, I knew I had probably a 2-year window or a multi-year window of being able to sort of be normal out and about. And I didn't want to spoil that. So my sister, I told her, I think, first, my parents second. Oh, and another thing, people talk, they don't mean to talk. So you tell people about it and they inadvertently say something. And so I didn't want to get back to Eleanor before I had a chance to tell her. So that was another key reason. I'm sure there were more key reasons, but those are two of them. Yeah. And so I decided I would. I read Michael J. Fox's book, Lucky Man. Actually, I got the audio book because the audio book is way better. Because I'm not the biggest reader, and an audio book, especially in his voice, was very helpful. And I encourage everyone to get it. But you know, he was talking about how he told his son, just sort of inadvertently when it came up. So I decided I was going to do that too. So we were in the car one day, and she said something about my shaking, and I said, "Oh yeah, I have this thing called Parkinson's. We're working on it. There's treatments." And she says, "I knew there was something wrong, or something was up," and that was it. I mean, it was just a very simple. I was taking her to school. She noticed a twitch, and she said, "There you are again." So she was 7, and I just told her, and no big deal. I worried about it for nothing.
Children are wonderful, and they always notice much more than we ever think they do. So it was really good that you said it so easily, and she just accepted it. Fantastic. How do you manage your condition now? What do you do? Exercise, diet?
Well, exercise, yes. I have a personal trainer that I lift weights with and do boxing with twice a week. And then I twice a week will ride a stationary bike for about a half hour or so. And then I try to take opportunities to exercise, like walking. And,
yeah,
you know, we were just out of town and we were walking around the city quite a bit, and in New York City. And, you know, that kind of stuff is good for me.
Yes, it is.
In terms of diet, I have lost about 25 pounds. I refer to it jokingly as the Parkinson's, the PD diet. And that's because I'm moving around a lot more. Involuntarily. And that's been actually good. I've managed to somehow lose 20 plus pounds, which has gotten my cholesterol down to like award-winning levels. And, blood pressure's awesome. And I eat terrible. It's terrible. I mean, I'm eating anything I want multiple times a day, and I've never had anything like this, but that's been the bonus.
Yes. The one good thing about Parkinson's is you don't put on weight. Yeah. Although obviously what you eat is very important, and it interferes with your medication. So you have to be careful as well, don't you?
I could do better, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, next week. Because you're younger than most people I know, you're still working. You're not retired. You're a serial entrepreneur. Has this interfered in any business that you are doing currently?
Well, I work 40 plus hours a week. I really enjoy my job. It's basically my hobby. And so it gives me pleasure. If I'm getting stress, it's usually positive stress. Although my body doesn't seem to distinguish between positive or negative stress. It seems to any up or down stress seems to get treated the same in terms of sucking up my dopamine. But it hasn't really hurt anything at all. It has taken away from my time a little bit. I have cycling of medications, this on and off period some, and we're trying to deal with it. But that would be the only thing where I would say it causes me a little frustration. But there's workarounds for everything.
I'd like to ask, because obviously I'm in the UK, we have something called the NHS, the National Health Service, which, we pay for in our taxes somewhere along the line. But essentially, we feel that it's free and we get to see a general practitioner, and then we get referred to a consultant. It's not always perfect. Because due to the COVID and all of that, there's been a real delay in people seeing their neurologist, actually seeing face to face. And that's been a big problem. How does this sort of thing work for you in America? Because my understanding is you have to have insurance and therefore you're paying for everything. How do you work this? I don't mean to pry into your financial situation. I just am interested in how differently it is in the US.
Sure. I can't speak to it 100%, but I will say in my particular case, we have insurance, and you're allowed so much. You have to spend the first amount of money that you've agreed to spend. So you might have what's called a deductible, where you pay like $2,500. The first $2,500 is yours in any given year, and then everything above that gets covered at some percentage. And so in my case, that's what goes on. And you can see a doctor that takes your insurance policy, and most doctors are part of your network in this country for the main three or four providers that there are. In terms of someone that doesn't have insurance, I think that they can get seen, but I think they're a lot more limited in who they can see and what goes on there. Fortunately, I'm not in a situation where that is the case. I really empathize with those that are, though, because the last thing you want to have on top of Parkinson's is financial stress and to deal with the Parkinson's.
Yeah. And you were saying that it's not easy to get to see a neurologist anyway. Do you feel you have enough of them in your country?
Yes, I do. I just think for whatever reason, they're all scheduled themselves like 9 and 10 months out. I mean, it's easy to see one, but not easy to see one fast.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like you walk into a walk-in facility and all of a sudden you're meeting a movement disorder specialist. I mean, there's these levels that you have to go through to get there.
That's the same here too, because it's not until you get to know how the Parkinson's is affecting you as to what the speciality is you're really looking for in your neurologist. What have you learned about yourself since your diagnosis?
That everything can be rationalized in a way. I say that jokingly, but
because you were saying that when you first found out, it was quite clearly an enormous shock.
That's right. And it's funny. I think about why I still get emotional with that period. I think I look at that period sort of as a death of a part of me. The result of that, though, I read something. I'll read it to you here. Mm-hmm. Feel free to not include it. But somebody sent me this book called Shaky Hands. It's a kid's book. And it's written in sort of a positive thing. And this is my kind of book. It's about 20 pages.
Yeah, but, me too.
It says here that the good that can come from a life-changing diagnosis like Parkinson's, and then she puts that empathy and compassion can be born from adversity. And that's how I sort of feel like, while one part of me died, another sort of was born. And I've always been empathetic and compassionate, but I think now I'm more so. That I have learned, that I think it changes as a person a little bit, which is good, in a good way.
Well, it sounds as if it's had a positive effect on you.
You're more aware
for other people.
Yeah, and it also, I've learned that you need to be thankful for what you have. I mean, like, I don't want Parkinson's, clearly, but when I think about having Parkinson's, and then I've had friends that are 40 years old that have died from cancer, or people that have gotten diagnosis that they have 2 weeks to live. Well, obviously, if I had a choice between that or Parkinson's, I mean, there's always something worse. So I've learned to appreciate that, hey, you know, Parkinson's, I can live with Parkinson's.
You're very wise. I personally practice gratitude every day, and it helps to be positive because it's a very positive way about going about your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I've had a wonderful 7 years.
So what have you got planned for the future?
Probably DBS surgery. That really isn't immediate on the horizon. I probably will have in the next 6 or 7 months because I've spoken to a lot of people that have had it, and it's been life-changing for them in a good way. I don't look forward to it, but I look forward to it. But no, just, you know, living life. You know, I still do what I like to do. I ski, snow ski, I travel. I work, all that stuff I like. And so I can spend time with my family, friends. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think I've got a great life. This book, it's been interesting because I've had a few people drop me a line through my contact form, and they've said it's really helped them, because one was diagnosed about 2 years ago and one was diagnosed about 1 year ago. And one guy said it brought him to tears, because his feelings and mine so were closely matched. And so didn't think anyone else understood him. That was really why I wrote the book. I really wrote the book for, it's not a moneymaker. Every penny goes to Parkinson's research. In fact, I don't even reimburse myself a lot of my cost for it. I just send it off to research because I'm a firm believer that we're going to find a cure here very soon, or at least something that stops it in my lifetime. Just the fact that I got those two notes, it was worth writing.
Well, as I was reading it, I really related. I haven't got Parkinson's, but I understood. I could feel what you were going through. And of course, my husband has it, so I've been where Jennifer is. It's very relatable. You write it very simply, very easily. It's emotional, but in a positive way. And I highly recommend it to everyone to get it. It's called You Have Young Onset Parkinson's by Blake Bookstaff. Now, I do this podcast on behalf of our local support group. Do you attend a support group? Are you the only person who has Parkinson's, or do you meet up with others?
Early on, that was another impetus for writing the book, is that early on, I was wanting to go to a support group, and the ones that I checked out were very much geared towards older people.
Yes.
And that wasn't motivating to me. I wanted to be around people that were hiking and doing things, still working. I found that actually when I went to the World Parkinson's Congress in Portland, Oregon in 2016. It just happened to be, it's a 3-year thing. Every 3 years they have it. And I found that going there, I participated in this young onset roundtable where there were people that were my age and they were working. And that was really great. We stayed in touch for quite a while. We sort of lost contact, but that was really a great starter group of people to network with. I don't really go to any meetings or anything Parkinson's related, because my life's not about Parkinson's. You know, it's not something that I want to keep revisiting over and over again. I mean, I certainly talk about it a lot. If I have a meeting with someone, I'll say, hey, if I look at you weird, I've got Parkinson's, no big deal. And, you know, I just get that out of the way. I don't want them thinking the whole time that elephant in the room. It's not something that really defines me. It's just something that I have, and something that I deal with. And it's really, I know I was emotional about it at the early part of this when we were talking about it, but I don't really deal with it other than just, I mean, I deal with medications and movement issues and exercise, and it's just part of my daily routine. Not to say I wouldn't go to a support group, but for the young onset person in the United States, I don't know how it is your side of the world, but there's not many resources, people telling their story of people that get young onset Parkinson's. There's a lot of clinical papers about it, but not like, here's my story and here's how what happened to me and things you might can expect or not connect. So that's been interesting. And another thing that's been interesting is, it's been interesting that nobody has done that. And that's one reason I wrote the book, is to have the resource that when someone gets diagnosed at a young age, they can have something to hopefully, you know, tell them, hey, it's not the end of the world.
Hmm.
But, you know, what's really happened also on Amazon, it's sort of been interesting, is people that have read the book have been older. I mean, 60, 65, they actually all get something out of it, it seems.
I really loved it. I love the positivity. And I mean, there are some sad bits in it. Of course there are, because as we said, you were shocked at the beginning and you've gone through some doctors and you've found who you're comfortable with. And it's a journey that actually we've all done, because you learn as you go along and you suddenly think, that person's not working for me. And I know why, and I know what I'm looking for in the next person. Well, well done. And I like to finish off with some tips. Now, we always say how good exercise is, and we have mentioned gratitude, which you clearly practice on an exceptionally positive way. I think this word identity, I think it's really interesting and encouraging, and something that I haven't maybe mentioned before in previous recordings, that not to be identified by Parkinson's. I think that's such a good piece of, dare I say, advice, a tip. Yeah. Because we are all different parts, aren't we? And if we make Parkinson's the biggest part of us, it's doing us a disservice.
Totally.
Yeah. So, Blake, it's been a pleasure to meet you, and thank you very, very much for your time. And I'll plug the book, and I hope that it does well, purely because you want it to reach people. And I think you're doing a great service to people for having written it. And I'm sure you felt good after you wrote it, didn't you? Wasn't it good to get it all down on paper?
It really was. And it was really good when I started giving copies out, even before I printed it. I gave the 8.5 by 11 sheets out as we were finishing the editing, because editing is an endless process. You know, you'll have it edited by a professional, and then you'll have it, somebody you let read it says, oh, there's a spelling error there. And then, you know, you're like, how can that be? I mean, we've read the thing 25 times. And then, you know, and then so we kept going there. And but my initial people's initial reactions to it were so good. I found it really hard to believe.
I think you've done yourself a favor by writing down all your thoughts. And I think you've done many other people a favor by writing down your thoughts, which they can relate to. So good man, Blake. Thank you.
Thank you too, Vivian. I appreciate you having me on today.
Well, what a nice change of accent that made. I do recommend Blake's book, especially if you have recently been diagnosed. It's called You Have Young Onset Parkinson's by Blake Bookstaff, and you can buy it on Amazon. It's relatable and easy to read. Thank you to Blake, and we wish him well, especially if he's going to have the DBS treatment.
And thank you for listening. Do let me know who you'd like to hear from and the questions that are important to you. You can email me at pliferaft@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. In the meantime, goodbye and take good care of yourselves. In producing this podcast, I'd like to thank Richard Smart and Emma Brudzinski for the idea, our chairman John Amphlett, who always encourages an idea, Nick F. Grave for the original music, Mike Bailey and the team at EPLS Design for the graphics and sound editing. This is a production by Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group, with permission from Parkinson's UK.
Please note that unless otherwise stated, the people speaking in this podcast are not experts. They are describing their personal experience of Parkinson's disease and ways they have personally found helpful in dealing with it. You must consult your own medical advisors before acting on any suggestions made in this podcast. This applies to experts as well as non-experts. Nothing in this podcast is to be treated as advice, and no liability whatsoever is accepted by the makers or participants for any steps taken in reliance on any part of its contents.